Welcome to the K&M Podcast's game prediction. Nick Roddy has returned from WJR. Hello, Nick.
Hello.
Mike O'Hara, Lions aficionado. Hello, Michael.
Aficionado, I like that.
And myself, and myself, Ken Brown, as we predict the Lions' Sunday game versus the Tennessee Titans at Ford Field. Before we get to that, gentlemen, Nick, since you've been wayward the last couple of weeks, any thoughts up to this point on the last game against Dallas? Well, matter of fact, you haven't been on since Dallas. So Dallas, and then last week's game against the Minnesota Vikings. You got any quick thoughts on the Lions up to now? Nothing specific.
No. I mean, nothing too groundbreaking. The Cowboys game was a nice blowout. So, they're playing about as I expected.
All right. I don't know if you had 5-1, Mike, at this time. I had them 6-0 at this time. I didn't think they would lose a game. I thought they would win the first 9, so I'm wrong on that. And they should have beat Tampa Bay. But anyway, I still think they're the strongest team right now for the next few weeks of any game. And I just think this game right here is a trap game because Tennessee may have good statistics, but they're not a good team.
No, but they got a good, strong defense, and the Lions and they also can at least have a history of moving the ball on the ground. And the Lions got to look at that 3 years ago when they ran for something like 300 yards against the Lions and just absolutely, smothered them. So I don't anticipate that happening again, but it has happened.
Yeah, it's happened. There's been games, like I said, I always refer to that Christmas Eve game against Carolina, where the Lions should have blown them out the water and they just got pounded on. But I think this is a different team and a different time and being at home. I just think the Lions are playing themselves Sunday. And this is a game to show me internally how good are you going to be.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you're playing a team with a strong defense and a shaky offense, I think that's right at the Lions' favor, right at the Lions' alley right now. I mean, they've got one of the best offenses in the league. They're rolling, so... Yeah, I mean, I don't think Tennessee's going to shut them out or anything, so let's see what this Lions defense is made of.
Go ahead, Mike.
On the other side, how long can we expect Jared Goff to perform at the level he's been performing at for the last month? I mean, it's absolutely amazing. It's unprecedented in the National Football League.
Yeah, well, I was going to get to that in a minute because there are two issues we want to bring up before we get to our prediction with Tennessee. Who the normal fan probably couldn't name 5 players on Tennessee Titans, and I'm struggling to get 7. But there are two issues. Jared Goff's ascension in the MVP conversation and Jameson Williams' suspension. Those are the two big issues of this week. Let's address, since you brought Goff up, let's just address Goff first. Playing at MVP level, do you think he can continue this? And if he does continue this, does he go in the MVP conversation?
I think he can continue it to some level. I don't know if he can play this well, for the next 11 games or 12 games or whatever it is. I think he can. And can he be in the conversation? Yeah, he can. But the guys who like to vote for the same people every year, year after year after year, and he's got to break that if he's going to become the next MVP.
How many years in a row did you vote for MVP, Mike? How many years did you vote for Barry Sanders, Mike? No, I'm just putting it out there. Matter of fact, Mike was voting for Barry Sanders after he retired. He's still voting for him.
Well, thanks. We just call that experience.
Hey, Roddy, anyway, back to Jared Goff. Is this a blip on the screen, or is this the play? This is how he's going to be playing for the next few
years. This is how he played last year, too. I mean, he was in the MVP conversation last year at a certain point, and then he kind of fell off a little bit. I don't think he's going to throw 90% completion percentage for the rest of the season, but I think he belongs in the MVP conversation. I think he'll stay there for the rest of the season. I mean, this offense isn't really slowing down, so this is what I expect of Jared Goff the rest of the year.
Well, one thing I've noticed this year, I don't know if you guys have noticed, I think I remember, and this is just off the top of my head, him throwing 2 dumb balls the whole year. I mean, when I say dumb balls, just when you, after the throw, you're like, why did he throw that? There was that interception where he didn't see the guy, forgot what team that was against, it was early in the year. And he threw another dumb one the other day. I'm not talking about just missing passes, but just dumb balls. I don't see that out of him anymore. I think the mental part of the game at quarterback has gotten easy. I remember when Stafford got to that point after a few years where the mental part of the game just eased up on him. And I think that's what Jared is now. He just does not make dumb plays often.
And listen, he can really throw the ball too. This is not just a guy, you know, throwing lollipops up there. He can really. He's got some heat on those balls.
Does he?
I think so. Yeah, I think he can really throw it. Yeah.
I'm just, you know, I compare anything to Stafford. So when you say heat on the ball, I'm like, okay, maybe it might be in a warming stage, but I wouldn't exactly call it heat.
I mean, his receivers are making plays, though, too. You got to give them credit. I mean, some of the third down conversions, I think was it the Khalif Raymond third down conversion last week against Minnesota, where they looks like they were bringing heat, and
right.
Looks like Jared Goff moved into a different play. And that play kind of sums up Jared Goff. It was just a great throw, but the receiver made a great catch on the sideline in a clutch play. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just hope he keeps up. Like I said, he's playing at the top level I've seen him play at since he's been in the league. So we'll see how that goes. Item number two, before we get to our prediction for the game, Jameson Williams suspended again. Another year, another suspension. A two-game suspension for, I forgot the exact term because I don't have it right in front of me, but it wasn't for performance-enhancing drugs. It was, I forgot the term. Did they use a Roddy of performance agent? It was a different term.
Probably performance enhancing substance.
Substance, yeah. So I'm just at the point now where I don't know which way to look at this kid. Dan Campbell gave a full throated endorsement of him and made an analogy to climbing a ladder, and he'd have to climb back, and he endorses the kid. But this has got to be another red flag to me. I'm sorry.
No.
For somebody to come out
on
and say, I don't know what I took. Doesn't the league tell you when they send a letter to you exactly what you're tested positive for? Are we to be that naive that he doesn't know what happened?
Well, it's only a two-game suspension, so it's not something egregious. It wasn't like he was taking steroids. I think he gets a pass. I mean, it's not like he's out getting in trouble with the law, DUIs, or getting involved in things he shouldn't be involved
so
in.
So we're having levels of badness? Is that what we're doing
yes.
today?
Okay,
yeah. So are we grading him on a curve, or are we just grading him on like the regular
no.
players on the team that didn't take anything? You know, you are. That's like, well, it's not as bad as he didn't shoot anybody. You know,
exactly.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
But he's still.
It's not like he's a bad guy. He doesn't know what happened. I'm all right, whatever.
Yeah, he doesn't know what
happened.
Okay.
He'll be back in 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, but he's going to miss one of the most important games of the year, that Green Bay game, too. But that's fine. You know, hey, whatever. You know, he took something. He didn't know what he took. Mike, we've seen this before. And you've been over the years, you've seen players that not necessarily bad guys, but just irresponsible. And how does that work on a team?
I think at a certain level, it can really wear thin on the locker room. And then you're starting to say to yourself, if you're another guy, I never get in any trouble. Why are we, coddling this guy who, he's not getting in trouble with the law or anything like that. But it's just wasting energy on things that don't have anything to do with you if you're another player. And I think it gets tiresome.
I agree. Like I said, he's got it. You need him for this year. You need him going into next year. I guess that'll be his fourth year next year. And then you got an option on the fifth. But, I mean, Roddy, are you ready right now to extend a guy like this, not knowing from week to week what's going
on? Yeah. I don't think he's going to get some massive extension. He hasn't been the most productive player in the league. So
well, you know
he's not going to get
guys.
St. Brown money.
But you don't know that because other teams just pay guys. I've seen some bad contracts.
So other teams have seen this. But I think he's getting judged based off his injury a little bit when he came in his first season.
I'm not even counting the first year. I'm just starting with the gambling.
The media, I agree. But the media and the fans are kind of saying, oh, this guy is missing more time. I mean, it's not his fault he was hurt to start his career. So everyone's talking about how much time he's missing. That I wouldn't count that injury to start his career as kind of something that you'd hold
that,
against him.
Two suspensions in 2 years for whatever reason just doesn't give me a lot of confidence. Like I said, when I need to know my guy's going to be there unless he's hurt on a Sunday. And on the football field, I have no problem with him. He plays hard, he plays good, he plays strong. But if you got to worry about him from the time you leave the football field to the next day, then he's just swimming against the stream to me sometimes. And he's happy-go-lucky and everything, and everybody, you know, he's got the smile and everything.
Well, maybe you have one of those guys on the team.
But somebody needs to pull him to the side. And who's the veteran on the team, Mike? I mean, you know, all the older guys are pretty much gone now, especially the receiver room. I think St. Brown might be with him. Well, you got Allen Robinson, but he doesn't play. He just got here, so he can't really say anything. But, you know, there's no –
I mean, Raymond's been around a few years.
Yeah, he's still young.
Yeah, 11 years, I think. This is 11th year, I think.
Who? Khalif Raymond?
Allen Robinson.
Yeah, Allen Robinson. I said but he just got it. He can't say anything. But I think he needs a mentor. We'll see what happens. But like I said, if they lose that Green Bay game and they lose it because of something on offense they couldn't do, I think the eyes are going to point a little more in that locker room toward, you let us down. I just hope that doesn't happen.
No, you got enough time to prepare. That will be you give Ben Johnson 2 weeks' notice on him missing one player against Green Bay. I don't think he'd fault Jameson Williams for that.
Man, we really riding the Ben Johnson wagon today, Rowdy. That's a couple times you mentioned Ben Johnson.
No, it's the first time.
Okay. All right, well, let's
get him too. Huh?
Yeah, everybody's missing him. Yeah. I'm going to tell you another thing, too. I've been watching TV the last couple of days, and for somebody who's an offensive coordinator and on the national shows, Ben Johnson's name has to be the coordinator that most people talk about, even today. I mean, I've seen six features on Ben Johnson in the last 3 days. Ben Johnson, not the Lions, Ben Johnson. So when it comes up for getting a head coaching job again this year, I think he's still going to be in the market, even though a lot of people were mad at him last year for, you know, not following through with the Washington job.
Well, who's a lot of people?
A lot of people, anonymous sources in these articles, were talking about, you know, he strung him along, blah, blah, blah. And, that's 2 years in a row he's pulled out, so why would you go hire? But all of that ends because people are still clamoring for a guy with an offensive mind like
that. Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. That overweighs everything else.
All right. All right, well, let's get down to it, gentlemen. This is what we came here for. Tennessee Titans, Detroit Lions. The Lions, I'm giving 11. I'm going to just use 11. The Lions are favored by 11, which is a big, big spread. Roddy, give me score and who's winning.
I got Lions 30-10. 30-10.
All right. And Mike O'Hara?
Well, that was going to be my score, so I'm going to make it 31-14.
All right. And I will go 35-21. And there goes some late scores that don't matter. 35-21. Lions in a route, and Hendon Hooker. This will be a Hendon Hooker game. This is another Hendon Hooker game. Even the dog's barking about that. It'll be another Hendon Hooker game. All right, gentlemen, we'll form again here next Monday and go over the last game and talk about the upcoming Green Bay game. So that is it, people, from the K&M Podcast. We're not adding Roddy yet because Roddy has to do two shows in a row before we include him in this. Roddy, you're on one, and you need one more.
One in a row.
All right, here we go. Thank you, guys. See you next week.